From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Uncle, hey, we need one more player. And I saw all these fast college guys. So I say, I probably won't be near as fast as you guys, and I probably won't hit any buckets. That's all right, Uncle. Come. And I'm thinking, I'm not as fast. So guess what? I wasn't as fast. And I figured, I won't hit any buckets. So guess how many buckets I hit? A zippo. That's right. Your brain has an uncanny way of fulfilling what you are dwelling on.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If your mind is filled with contention and strife, well, that's just what you'll seem to experience, contention and strife. But if your mind is filled with happiness and joy, then you just seem to live a joyful life. Well, today, Pastor Wayne has the conclusion of a message entitled, Becoming More Like Him, and that'll be coming up in just a moment. But first, we invite you to join the people of New Hope in a few minutes of worship. Here is Pastor Wayne.
You've won my affection, and you've captured my heart. You have my devotion, my worship is yours. You've won my affection, oh. You've captured my heart, and now I am.
You captured my heart.
Oh, you have my
Was Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Becoming More Like Him.
Happened the other day, I went to the YMCA and I was walking through the gymnasium. There was about seven college guys playing basketball and they saw me and I guess they wanted to play 4-on-4, so they needed one more. So they said, "Hey, uncle." I hate it when grown people call me uncle. Kids, okay. Grown people, don't. But they said, "Uncle." Yeah, I said, "Hey, we need one more player." And I saw all these fast college kids, you know, so there's a disclaimer, my brain, I'm processing. So I say, "Here's my disclaimer." I said, "Yeah, okay, but you know, I probably won't be near as fast as you guys and I probably won't hit any buckets." "That's all right, uncle, come. So I go in and play and I'm thinking, I'm not as fast. So guess what? I wasn't as fast. And I figured, I won't hit any buckets. So guess how many buckets I hit? A Zippo. That's right. Your brain has an uncanny way of fulfilling what you are dwelling on. And so God, through his promises, says, see the world through his promises, and you'll begin to see possibility and potential, and it changes you. Changes you. Let's read 2 Corinthians 3:18. Go. "Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." God is saying, "I'm going to do something in you." When you behold my promises, you start to see evidences of God everywhere. And when you start to behold the Lord, you change. The way you process things change. And you start to develop the mind of Christ. You see, the promises of God really restore our identity and makes us the people he created us to be. I want to encourage you to look at the promises of God and start to memorize them. And take one at a time, one a week, which we'll do. And then by the end, we're actually going to have some cards made up where you can pick up that'll have the promises of God on. And so that you can memorize them to help you to become the people God wants you to be. But I want you to see with me that number two, there's going to be conditions in the word, in the promises of God. And the second thing that's so important about these promises is that it will call us to a glad obedience to the word. Would you write that in? A glad obedience. Now, I'm going to tell you why it's so important in just a second. John 15:7 tells us that we're going to play a vital role in the fulfilling of God's promises. Let's read what it says. Go. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall whatever you wish and it shall be." Yeah. He's saying there's going to be a condition that we've got to be in relationship with one another. And there's got to be a conditioning of your heart and life in order to receive what I have for you. Then you can ask whatever you wish or your inheritance will be available. But there's got to be some kind of relationship and maturity and depth. It's sort of like this. Why obedience? Let's say you're 8 years old and your billionaire father passes away, and you're only eight. He leaves you $500 million, a small sum. But you will inherit that when you're 21. Part of this is he has hired a tutor to tutor you from 8 to 21, so that by the time you come to your inheritance, you have the depth, the character, the maturity, insight, wisdom, goodness, perseverance, self-control, so that when you inherit this, you won't squander it or it won't destroy you, but instead you'll steward it well for the best use of humankind. And so that tutor tutors you, and his goal is to get you ready so that when you come into that inheritance, you don't destroy it. Well, the Bible says in the book of Galatians that the Word of God is a tutor, or the law of God is a tutor. And so what God is saying is, you are my children, and all of heaven is available to you. But it's like we're 8 years old, we're millionaires, but we're not yet apprehending that inheritance fully yet. And so the Word of God is going to tutor you and me, because how many of us, when we get a spouse, we don't steward that well, and it destroys us. Or we come into a position, or God gives us a certain amount of authority or influence, and we squander it. And pretty soon, we use it for our own purposes with greed. And we haven't come to an age yet where we had enough maturity in God's character and depth to have been able to steward what He has in store for us. There's nothing that delights the Father more than to leave an inheritance to His children who grow into it and steward it just like the Father would have them steward it. That would delight His heart. And so the Bible is that which tutors us, because as we obey God's Word, there's going to need to be some patience, because it's so easy, the corruption of the world that's pulling our identity that way, to say, no, God has given me magnificent and precious promises. And so with patience, I'm going to follow Him, and I'm going to escape the corruption in the world that is by lust. And because of His precious and magnificent promises, I partake in that, and it's going to make me more like Him. The people of old did it. Let's read Hebrews 6:12, the next verse down. Go. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Oh, men and women of old did that. Because you see, as we obey God, here's what you write in the next bullet. It builds God's character in us. It builds God's character. Because when we come to that which God wants to give us, He wants us to have the character. Let's read what He says. Go. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in perseverance, and then godliness and brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Now, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be fruitful in the knowledge of the One who is giving you this inheritance, so you'll have His heart and character of perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, etc., self-control, because there's an inheritance. Now, let me explain it to you this way, how important it is to obey, because that's how God pours His character into you. Because our greatest inheritance is really likeness. Now watch this. Let's say there's a professional baseball dad, and he was a home run hitter in his day, but now he's teaching his young adolescent son how to hit the ball. And so this pro baseball dad now is teaching his son about his stance, his balance, the shifting of his weight from one foot to the other, the centrifugal force of the bat, how to keep his eye on the ball, the sweet spot, to have the heart of confidence when the pitch is thrown, to know where you're going to hit it, to move the ball that way, and to swing in such a way that you don't lose balance. Now, he's teaching this child that. Now, it'd be very easy for the father to circumvent his son and say, Get away. Next game, I'll just hit for you because I can knock it over the fence. And he could. But instead, that pro baseball dad is sort of limiting his ability, limiting his power, limiting his strength, limiting himself to work through his son. And he coaches and he advises and he counsels and he leads and he guides, so that he can basically be hitting the ball through his son. And as the son obeys his father, what happens is something of the father's skill, as he puts it into practice, the father's depth, confidence, becomes deposited into that boy. But it only happens through obedience. You see, if the child didn't want to obey, And the father says, son, I want you to stand like this. No. Power it. I won't stand la dis. I like whack them la dis. No. You do it exactly as I... No. It's my life. Do it any way I want. Excuse me. But at that point, nothing of the father's character from that moment on can be transferred to that child. You understand what I'm saying? That's it. It's done. God loves us so much that he wants to transfer his character of goodness, of brotherly kindness, of love, of insight, of wisdom, of depth, of maturity, because he knows the plans that he has for us. And if we don't have his heart and character, we'll squander it, or it'll actually destroy us. So God instructs us through the word of God. And as we obey him, there's a huge purpose attached to obedience. And it's not just God wants to be stringent and kind of give us this disciplined kind of lifestyle, stoic lifestyle. No. God is saying, no, there's a reason I want you to obey, because when you do, I'm able to transfer my character to you. And one day when that boy hits that ball over the fence fairly consistently, other people, scouts from other teams will look and say, you know, that kid, that guy hits the ball just like his dad did when he was playing in the big leagues. Just like his dad. See, God could circumvent us. He could say, get out of the way. I'll do my work without you. But instead, God limits himself to do his work through his children. And so he instructs and he guides and he says, now do it just like I tell you, because if you'll obey, I will be able to transfer my character, transfer my life, transfer my wisdom, depth, my heart into you. And the process is only possible through obedience. As soon as I say, no, I'm going to shortcut it and go after something else that the world has offered as a counterfeit, then the character transfer ends. God wants to build his life in us. And I can't think of a better reason for us to obey than to accept his likeness into our hearts. Amen. So number three, what is God's greatest delight? Would you write in your notes that we'll be living by his promises, living by his promises. There's no greater way. Can I encourage you to be a people who will take the promises of God and memorize them so that when you see something, you remember, oh, I don't see with my eyes. I'm seeing with my spirit, my brain, my mind, and I'm putting stuff into what I'm viewing. This is a problem. I see there's a problem here. Well, you're going to either see potential or hopelessness. It's not your eyes. It's not the situation. It's the way that we process it. Are we going to mix in God's promises? Or are we going to mix in fear? When we see the pull of temptation pulling us, do we want to go after the corruption of the world or say, no. God has called me to be a son. God asks me to represent him. For you, an ambassador for Christ, he says. He says, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm not like that anymore. The promises of God restores my identity, and I stand on the promise. And by doing that, I become a partaker of his divine nature. And then God is able to infuse or transfer his character to me. And when my inheritance starts being released to me, I steward them well to the great delight of our Father. Then we represent him in a world that desperately needs to see Jesus. We become the church of the living God, a people of promise. So, to help you get started, we're going to memorize that last scripture in your notes. All right? Now, that's not 1 Peter, it's 2 Peter. Not first base, it's second base. Second base is closer to home, so it's 2 Peter, not first. Second, got it? 2 Peter 1:4. 1:4. Okay, the scripture we're going to memorize is which one? Not 1 Peter. Okay, now his inheritance for us is like a grant. So it starts this way. He has not given, he has not loaned, he has granted, yeah. He has granted to us. Now, his promises are not just mediocre. They're precious and magnificent. So, let's try the first part. Ready? Go. For he has granted to us his precious and magnificent good. That's what he's given to us. For he's granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Why? In order, so you answer that why, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. What? In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Remember that obedience thing? You're going to become partakers as he promised. If you do this, I promise you'll do better. I promise you'll hit the ball. Just do exactly this. So as I receive his promise, which is his instructions too, I become a partaker of his divine nature. So he has granted, remember? Go. He has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Why? In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Now remember the pull of the world, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Not 1 Peter, but 1-4. Okay. All right. Now the just helping you remember now. Okay. Okay, now here's the final exam. Let's try it. Go. For he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promise in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Not 1 Peter. Good. Okay. Okay, here's your final exam. Everybody look up at me. Okay, ready? Go. He has granted to us his precious and magnificent promise in order that by them you might become partakers of his divine nature, having the corruption that is in the world by lust. Not first, but you did it. Congratulations. Let's stand together. Thank you. A people of the promise. That's why it's so important for us to be a people who will trust and obey. There's no other way for God to transfer his character into us. Lord Jesus, that's our prayer. Help us to be a people of the promise, memorizing your promises, storing them in our hearts, so that as you bring them back to remembrance, it'll restore our identity. It'll again restore peace, direction, stability, and stalwart hearts of courage. May we be a people that stand on the promises. And help us to obey your word. The best thing we can do is obey exactly what you say, because that's the map to receiving our inheritance, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So we want to just stop and say thank you for your precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them we might become partakers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. Thank you, Father, for your gracious goodness. Help us to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no trust and obey. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day as a people of the promise.
You have just heard a message entitled Becoming More Like Him
with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.